At the end of the day, that's one less decision you've got to make for something that's not going to be that good anyway.
We've finally got to the absolute crux of what this whole podcast is about, isn't it? It's of people with the incredible visual acumen who do it for a living.
Because most of the people I do designs for, right, I want them to do well. I'm glad someone's out there trying to do something themselves, and they're like smaller companies, self-employed, startups, all that stuff. I find it really exciting.
Hello, and welcome to Well, You're the Designer, the podcast where the Vesuvius of client briefs meets the Pompeii townsfolk of graphic design. Again, too soon. I have with me Richard Kemp.
As previously mentioned.
And Matt Brutti.
Hello.
Highly experienced designers who spent a lot of their careers working from client briefs and actioning their amends. Often those clients have been small business owners, people whose everyday roles don't necessarily call for them to be familiar with the intricacies of design and marketing. In this podcast, we discuss the language barrier that exists between mere mortals and those who've devoted their whole careers to design. Through no fault of their own, clients can struggle to articulate what they need or misunderstand the process. But whether they like it or not, it's often part of the designer's job to manage this relationship and guide the process toward a timely and effective outcome. Each week, we pick pieces of frequently heard feedback that typically fill our designers with dread, and we ask, what's the client trying to achieve? What do they want? What are the consequences to the design? Is there a way we can achieve it in a different way? And does the client have a point? My name's Danny Powell, and I'm here to represent the other side of the relationship and plead the case for the client. At the end of our chat, we'll wheel in the clangometer. Each of our designers will give this week's client request a score from 1 to 10 on the clangometer, 1 for a reasonable request, and 10 for a complete client clanger. This week is part one of a two-part roundup of regular requests. We're going to take a whole bunch of them, try and deal with them at once. We've split this collection of clangers into super specific and frustratingly vague. So this week it's the turn of the super specific ones. And I guess we'll go through them in order. But the first one we're going to talk about is, please include the small pointless map.
It would be funny if they use that word in.
They might as well. Yeah. Please, yeah. You know, on the back of a, say they're doing a, it could be anything, but I don't know, like boot fair or something, right? And especially nowadays with everyone's sat navs. I mean, even sat navs kind of quite old now, right? Now it's just like plug your phone into the car and the car will tell you. But they still insist on having this map that's like, I don't know, say 70 by 40 mil. Normally a low res.
I don't think it's. Don't think it's unreasonable. People want, they want to be found. They want to show people where they are.
Yeah, I know, but no one's going to use it because it's too small. You can't get any information from it. No one's going to drive out to Battlesbridge or whatever in their car with their partner or friend in the passenger seat looking at this postage stamp of a map going, yeah, left here, right. And then it's because there's no information.
It's not for directions though, is it? It's just as a quick impression of, oh, it's near the town square by the cathedral, or I know where that is.
I think people are more likely just to go, what's the postcode, and put it in their phone and go, oh, it's there and here's the specific directions and how long it'll take to get there.
I think if it's, if you could just festival, quickly look at it and go,
so Croydonites, the festival, do stuff for, on the back of the program they have a map and it's got all the venues, like, you know, a list of venues numbered, and then they'll have the, like, that makes sense. You can go, oh, okay, these are close together, and right, and it, like, it can serve a purpose, right? But I just think when it's that, it's just, especially as they go, oh, I want it to show like a 20-mile radius. And you can't see anything.
Yeah, quite often the map you need to include.
Yeah.
A bit of a radius, because you've got to give it context of where it is. Because usually
the M25.
Yeah, usually you've only got space to put like a road and a branching road off it, really.
Yeah. Because you can't read it. Like, that's the other thing. Go, oh, okay, so then, you know, and you have to end up like drawing one for them. And then they go, oh, actually, can you show these other things I didn't mention previously? And then you've got to, like, draw a new map or change this. And no one uses it. You don't even use it. You're just saying that.
I think for a quick impression, just as a sort of, it's next to the supermarket.
Do you think that is more effective than just writing the sentence next to Tesco's on the high street. Or...
I don't know. That's a bit like local radio ads, isn't it? Where just off the A12 by the pub roundabout, yeah.
I suppose it could be useful to add a bit of a, you know, like sometimes use icons as something, just sometimes you might want something a bit visual on there to break up some text, maybe in that sense, but...
Yeah, yeah. All right, enough. Let's clang it. Let's clang it and move on. What are we saying?
Seven.
I quite like
that. But that's only because what you said, and if you say so. But yeah. In my head, it's an eight, but I'm gonna go seven out loud.
That's one of mine. I quite like the challenge of it. Like, I quite enjoy the trying to make that make sense. So I don't know, five it for five me. It.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Yeah, fair enough. So six average. Okay. Let's move on. So the next one is replace this picture with one of the opposite orientation. What are we talking about there?
Calendars.
Yeah, calendars are calendars one when I haven't looked at the template.
Have you ever done a calendar where you've had all the right orientation?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, more and more, actually. Right, more and okay. More. Yeah, so essentially you've done the design and the image is portrait.
Mm.
And then they go, oh, can you swap the image over? And they send you like a landscape image.
Right.
So obviously that just, I mean, you can put it in the box, but they're going to obviously get the sides cropped.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, I can't, you know, it just means changing the whole layout sometimes.
Yeah.
Or you're just in Photoshop doing content fill in areas just so you can try and get the proportions.
You can kind of, like you say, artwork your way out of it. But in like, as it's written, that's essentially what it is when they go, oh, you know, here's something in this shape. Can you change it for this one in the opposite shape?
Yeah. So like a sort of ring bound calendar, you've got all your dates and then everything has to be.
Yeah. If it's a portrait calendar. I guess it depends
which way around it is. But
yeah. If it's a portrait calendar, then aside from the cover, all the images will be landscape and vice versa for a landscape calendar.
Yeah.
But I'd say like the calendars are probably the least, because you know you can put all the images in and send them a proof, and then they can, like what they, you know, that's because it's a template. You can go, that's the template, and they can either go, oh, that's fine, or I'll send you images, or I'll change the calendar so they're, you know, change it to a landscape one because all their images are portrait. But when it's like a design and you've done it. And you're, it could even be like on second round of amends or something. Everything's fine, but now they want this, and it has to show. You know, it's got to include the thing on the left and the thing on the right.
Right.
So you can't crop it. You just like, well, yeah, and it's just you have to change the layout, and then the layout suffers, and they go, oh,
yeah,
it's not looking, you know, and then they start trying to fix it themselves. So it can be a bit of a catalyst for a messy end.
So if there's, for example, if it's an image which forms a smaller part on a page, for example, in a little border or something like that, you might have it all working nice and harmoniously with a landscape image. And then you're asked to replace that with portrait, it has a knock-on effect. Is that people misunderstand the sort of consequences and the additional design that needs to happen to make it work?
I guess so, but it still baffles me to this day that people can't see that. You know, they can't go, oh, this is completely different. It's going to have an effect. It's probably not going to be a positive one.
Are we at a place with AI yet where you can just make it create some bits on the side or top?
Yeah, well, Photoshop's had that functionality for years. Yeah. Where you can, it works really well for, like, if you've got foliage or... Right. Sea or water, anything beyond that. If you've got like you've got some floorballs and you've got a perspective shot and you want to extend the bottom out of the floorballs, it just can't cope with the perspective and the.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, it just puts all the joints in weird places and yeah. So you can do it a bit. You can do it with
If the difference isn't too extreme, then you can finesse it and go, yeah, there you go. But it's when it's actually like, come on, that's just...
And it is baffling sometimes how people just can't see that. They just haven't got the makeup or the visualisation to...
I just don't understand it. My wife always tells me it's because I know, because I've been doing it for so long, and I need to remember that some people, you know, I go home and go, oh, you know, this person said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm baffled. And she's like, why are you baffled? I wouldn't particularly know that. And I'm thinking, come on, you must know that this is different to that. Yeah, you wouldn't. If you were, if you had, like, or I don't know, a stick of rock, right, and you had to post it through a letterbox, you wouldn't spend 5 minutes trying to put it through, like, you know, like vertically, would you? Going, oh, it, oh. But it's, you know, it's the same. It's just like, yeah, because it's like, it's a different way. Yeah, so we're people wouldn't do that.
We're all very
that,
different
right?
cognitively, though, aren't we? Yeah, this is the, I think we've got to, we've finally got to the absolute crux of what this whole podcast is about, isn't it? It's of people with the incredible visual acumen who do it for a living, coming up against people.
I don't have incredible visual acumen. I can tell the difference between a rectangle and a square.
That's a good marketing campaign, though, to stick a rock through the posting sticks of rock. We could use that one.
But no one would do that, would they? And if they went like that first time and put it through, go, oh, wow, you've got incredible visual acumen. They go, you've passed a very basic test of, like, intelligence by managing to get a stick of rock through a letterbox.
Yeah, well, you're applying my logic to your world that happens in your head that I don't really... Yeah, I don't know. I think at a more subtle level, like what you're saying about the conversation with your wife, like, yeah, I think you live it, and there needs to be some appreciation that other people don't, and they don't understand the challenges.
Yeah, okay, if you say so.
Enough of this, let's clang it. What are we saying for inserting pictures of the opposite orientation? 1 to 10 on the clangometer.
Yeah, that registers on the lazy scale to me, so I'm going 7.
Yeah, I'd go a 7.
7?
Yeah.
Unanimous. All right, fair enough. We'll move on again. So the next one is, can you please use this terrible font combination? Is that how they phrase it?
No, they'll normally go... They'll normally something, you know, there'll be some sort of iffy-looking PNG, and they'll go, you know... I really like these fonts, or you know, or they might even name them, and you just like go, okay.
The worst font combinations are when the fonts are a bit similar, and you sort of try and put them on together. There's no difference. They're sort of
There's enough to make it a little bit weird to look at.
Yeah,
even if you don't know about fonts, I think you just get that general feeling that something's not right.
It just looks like you couldn't find the right font to do that bit. And you've used that as a substitute, and it just looks unprofessional.
You know, I've seen some weird ones, you know, like Century Gothic and Arial and, you know, Papyrus or something like that. Yeah. And just like, wow, all in one flyer, you know.
Yeah, for me, it sort of evokes the home word processing boom of the early 90s when people got like word art and people making like their own posters and
look at that font, let's put that one on as well.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Absolutely.
But again, as with many things we discuss, there is the opposite argument for going the other way, and there's an effect to be had by mixing it up.
But they still got a... So there was that, I can't think how long ago it was, where everyone wanted what was, I think the phrase at the time was shabby chic. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of different fonts kind of almost like laid out in a grid. And it was quite good fun to do because you get to like, you know, pick a load of crazy fonts and, you know, lay them out in a grid, which to me is a great day out, right?
That when you got the words, like the graphics were all coming out at different angles, but they're all different fonts. Is that what you mean?
It was
all over Shutterstock for a while.
Yeah, it was all, yeah. So that obviously lots of kind of vintage signage fonts, right? They'd have a proper mix up, and there would be like plenty of line work separating them, and you'd be out of quite a rigid grid.
Mm.
And then they'd all go in there, and then people in shops that sell kind of
mid-century furniture and
more that kind of like trendy country house, farm, cookbook type demographic, right? So a little bit pastel-y, probably bought Kath Kidson. Was that her name?
Yeah.
What was, this, was it Kath Kidson?
Kath Kidson, yeah.
And that sort of thing, and they'd have something on their kitchen wall about how amazing everything is, but also wine.
Right, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
One so, Prosecco, two Prosecco, three Prosecco floor.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So there was that, which was, you know, I had a few of those jobs. Just like, yeah, cool, why not?
Do people still use the Keep Calm? Is that...
Oh, man.
Keep
yeah.
Calm. They crop up, don't they?
Yeah, Keep Calm, still. Insert business name here. No, thankfully that's gone. But that was around the same time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which I found out actually was never used. It was actually rejected by the whoever on the you know, propaganda posters.
Oh, well, wow. So someone got hold of it later on and
Yeah, it was kind of like a footnote almost. Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So a mix of terrible fonts on the Clangometer 1 to 10.
It's not, I mean, again, it's not one that's
I would say
really it's, bad, it, is it? It's just it's a lack
not,
of
And also it's
lack
not frequent enough for it to like actually be a full-on bugbear. So I'd say like a 5.
Yeah, I'll go 5. I'll join you on that one.
Because, you know,
that's just not
at the end of the day, that's one less decision you've got to make for something that's not going to be that good anyway, I guess.
Right. Okay.
I think it's the combination of things taking a lot of time and thought but still looking bad because there's, you know, because of what you've been asked to do and stuff. So if they ask you to do something, may look bad, but actually doesn't take that long, and that'll give you more time to do something good, then I'll give it a lower score.
Okay, fair enough. The next one, oh, you might have to explain this one a bit to me. Bullet points only.
Oh, that's, for me, that's just that's flyers, you, right? Man. And when they just go, here's the text, and it's just bullet points.
Right.
I don't mind bullet points.
Yeah, but a whole flyer of bullet points.
That's fine for me. I struggle reading a couple of paragraphs together. Just my concentration. Right. I like bullet points.
Is this likely to be like a list of services or...
Anything.
Yeah. I quite like them visually as well. Just
oh!
And I love doing the tabs, you know, if you've got a bullet point that goes onto two lines. You know,
yeah,
get your
great.
Tabs
yeah.
involved.
Yeah, get your tabs out.
Yeah.
But... No.
I don't mind a bullet point.
Like they've got a function and use them for that function, but don't make it the basis of your advertising.
We've
imagine
spoken,
if films done that.
If who did that?
Like films, you know, you get the big film posters.
Right.
And it has like, I don't know, who's really popular?
Don't know anymore.
Film star 1, film star 2, film title, and then it's got, you know, like bullet point, like action, chases, kissing, yeah, explosions, yeah, music, sound yeah. effects, fighting, yeah, tension, laughter, jokes,
that would
and
work.
Much more.
That would work for me. And much, much more.
Which is always the last bullet point, isn't it?
Yeah. That would work for me.
Fair enough. And we've spoken about our distaste for... centrally aligned bullet points where all the bullets
oh
are
yeah nice. Yeah yeah can't do that
we don't like
although
that,
do sometimes I do a kind of twist on that because I think I can't face another bullet point list, so I'll do it centrally aligned and I'll put a bullet point like between each one and I'll do it over 3 lines but I won't put ones at the end yeah so it'll be like first item, space, bullet point, space. Yeah.
Second oh, I
item.
See. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, if there's okay. a few going like that, yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes that's just a... I just think it's just slightly nicer to look at. I mean, they're great for reports, right? If you just want the facts, I get it. But if you're making a flyer to entice someone to use your product or service, a list is not...
It's to the point, isn't it?
Yeah, but lots of things are to the point. Doesn't make them good design.
No. We did some research on political leaflets, and I think one of the questions...
Oh, was that for the...
We asked for the survey was, do you prefer like a block paragraph or bullet points? And people said bullet points.
Mm. And did we do a certain number of bullet points as well? I think like 5 or 6 was the optimum.
Yeah.
Less than that, then it just becomes like a title.
You wouldn't have two bullet points.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's crazy.
Three minimum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for...
I think three's too little. Four to
if
seven.
If you're laying out your, you know, foundations of your policy, that makes sense. Again, it's all about context, yeah, and appropriateness.
Yeah.
But if you can only talk about your business in bullet points, I don't think it makes for a very interesting...
If the alternative is an intimidating paragraph that you can't be bothered to read.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that bullet points are worse than something just as bad. I'm saying that bullet points aren't good if you have too many and only bullet points.
Yeah.
Right? But I'd also say, if you have too much, if you have four paragraphs of copy on the front of your flyer, that is also bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon it'll look more attractive than bullet points, just visually.
Okay, well, I don't like this anti-copy bias, but anyway, let's move on. So, clangometer, bullet points, what are we saying?
Zero for me. Bullet point everything, contact details, the lot. Okay. Yeah, zero.
You're going to want to pull this average up significantly here.
15. No, I'd say I'd probably go another 7.
Mm-hmm.
I just think people use them too much. And it just looks... It looks dull.
Too business-like, possibly.
Yeah, but you could swap out the dot for
a teddy bear or all sorts of stuff. It's when
teddy bear. Could be all bullet sizes points, shapes.
But can we have our logo as the bullet point?
Yeah.
Yeah, golden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it'll be some logo that's never going to work at that size.
Right.
So then you have to make the bullet points bigger so you can see that it's a logo. So then... That's just too much information, yeah, because you've got the... Oh, yeah. Yeah, 8 now.
8. Okay. Fair enough. Right. Yeah, this next one's another one that you guys have provided. And I think that, again, there's a little bit of agenda built into the question here, which is, use my grotty, badly framed images over good quality stock photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad images could really... Like, that could kill your flyer and... The impression you want to give completely, like just bad images.
Right. And this is what we're talking about, like amateur
blurred, low res.
I think just
badly lit.
Yeah, badly lit, and like, you know, the composition, because that's one thing about a professional photographer, isn't it? It's the composition, and that's really what sells an image, isn't it?
Mm. You're instantly,
as much as anything.
You're instantly saying you don't want to give a good impression. Like you just, I didn't want to pay out for photography or. You know,
I mean, some people can't write, you just can't, so that's fair enough, but at least go on a website or two and Google, you know, the 5 mistakes people, you know, 5 mistakes to avoid when taking photographs of your products, or it doesn't take that long. But I think what people tend to do is kind of how they approach design, right? They go, I need to fit as much of this thing in the photo, as in the frame, as possible. So you'll just get, you know, they'll stand back or zoom in, depending on what it is, to get all of it in. And it just doesn't make an interesting image.
Yeah. And you mentioned here specifically where there's good quality stock photography as well. Is that because it just shows it up for what it is, even worse?
What, you think that's why they don't want to do it?
Well, no, it's just got badly framed images over good quality stock photos.
Well, yeah, because...
Oh, do you mean like over and above or...
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Over. Right, okay. Yeah. Sorry, completely misunderstood that. Yeah.
That's okay.
I thought you meant over.
It was badly
like,
worded.
Oh, right. Actually laid over.
Placing a bad photo over a good one.
Oh, okay.
No.
Fair enough, I understand that.
I think the reason they choose theirs is because they go, yeah, but this is the actual one. So say food is a good one, but I would say, cool, right? That is the actual one. But which one actually looks like you'd want to eat? And no one's going to go, I don't think, when you bring them the food, they're not going to whip out the flyer and like compare it and go, well, this looks slightly different.
Mm. It's got a... look a bit like it though, isn't it?
It's got a bit like it. But a chicken burger is a chicken burger to some extent. When they go, oh, but we've got different lettuce, or we put our lettuce at the bottom, And if you go
it's often quite hard to match the bun, isn't
it? If you go in one of the many Super Chicken shops, then guaranteed all the pictures, even like a fish and chip shop, all the pictures and stuff, they don't particularly look like what they serve. They're just a representation. Like, yeah, I will get some fish and some chips. That bit is true, but it won't be plated like that. It won't be lit like that. The fish might be a different shape. The chips might be a different. There might be more chips in real life than. But no one cares. They just go like, "Oh, okay, nice poster, right?" So I think that's the thing. If you've got something like really specific to your business, say you make,
yeah, manufacturer.
You make bracelets or something like that, right? Or jewellery or T-shirts, then yeah, sure. But there's... If you want to use photos, you need to think about how they're going to look.
Fair enough. And if your own amateurish photography is not good enough, then stock is. Stock photography is the way to go.
Or just go, right, okay, simplify your approach and go, right, I'm just going to... Because, you know, phones today can actually take some pretty good images.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is another one. People sending the screenshot of the photo open on their phone rather than the image.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I've never read that.
Oh, get it more and more and more. Mm-hmm. People go like, yeah, here's the images. And they flick through their gallery and screenshot, send you the screenshots. I'm just like, could I have the actual file? And then they like embed it in a Word doc or the email and you go, can you just send me the file? Stop compressing it. Yeah.
Well, that's just a lack of understanding on their part, isn't it? Just need to learn.
Again, baffles me. Everyone knows what a screenshot is and it's not the thing.
Right.
If you take a picture of a shoe, you don't try and put the picture on your feet, do you? Because it's not the same thing.
When you're off out to deliver rock... Yeah. Through letterboxes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
With a picture of a shoe on your foot. Yeah. Okay.
Because of my visual acumen.
So, grotty, badly framed images, clangometer, 1 to 10.
6.
It's not a bad one again, is it? It's sort of just similar to the.
I feel more frustrated on their behalf. Because there might even be, you know. Because most of the people I do designs for, right, I want them to do well. I'm glad someone's out there trying to do something themselves. And they're like, you know, I love it. I love that side of it. I love the kind of helping smaller companies, self-employed people, all that sort of startups, all that stuff. I find it really exciting, way more exciting. So I think I just find it frustrating. It's just like, come on, you've put so much effort into everything else.
Yeah,
this deserves the same amount of effort.
Yeah, there's not knowing the process and maybe you don't know the skills, but at the end of it, you still can stand back and look at it and go, does that look good?
Yeah.
Is that how I want to represent myself?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's...
Because anything can be done fairly well, fairly simply and cheaply now like that, especially these days. Mm. So you can spend, I mean, you think how many hours people who start their own business spend like doing all the things that it needs, right? It needs like hundreds of stuff you need to think about.
Mm.
And if you're taking your own photographs of your products, then one of the things you should put in those hours is, you know, half a day on YouTube, just because there's so much information there that just really like can really help you out, right? So do that.
Okay, no excuse. Have you, can you remind me your numbers there?
I haven't given you.
I think mine was a 6.
Yeah, was it whatever I said for the typographic one? 6 was that, a 7? Yeah.
All right. And finally today, we want to discuss use the international phone number format.
Oh.
I'm guilty of this.
Oh,
I did stop this. Yeah, when I had my business, I put that on our contacts.
Did you get a lot of calls?
No, but when you get to use it, when you get to actually, I think like we maybe once or twice, like we're contacted, giving contacts to people in Japan and Turkey once, but it feels so good because you've got the +44.
Yeah. Or 0044 or +44, yeah.
+44 bracket 0 bracket. +44 space. Bracket 0 bracket And then one, yeah.
Is it just because it looks ugly? What's the objection?
No, I think it looks quite good.
My objection is they don't need it. Like, some people do. Like, so Matt with his two phone calls, yeah, he needed that.
Made it all worth it.
And obviously there's some businesses that do need that, right? Because they do trade internationally.
Mm.
But a lot of the time it's...
people trying to look bigger than they are.
Right, yeah.
Well, I just think it's because they... So it's that thing that we've spoken about before where they see other people doing it.
Mm.
So without even thinking about it, they just go, oh, well, I'm going to do that as well because I've seen it everywhere else.
Mm.
You know, it's like that thing where people might be doing, like, say, fashion or makeup, and they'll always put, you know, London underneath it. That happened for a while, yeah? So it'll be this service by this person, London.
Right.
And it's that same... like, why now you all look the same, which is something we've spoken about before, so that doesn't help. But, yeah, it's when it's... you know, it's like a local business... that is doing something very local that you couldn't do internationally.
Yeah.
And then they do the, plus 4-4.
Yeah.
It's like there was a local shop in Lee that was shutting down and they had a big sign saying, we've gone global. But what it meant was they've just got a website. So it's like, we've gone global, www. Yeah. Whatever it was. Yeah. But, and then closing down.
Fair enough. So, international phone numbers on the clangometer, 1 to 10.
Oh, 4, like because, you know, if you get to use it, you feel great.
But it just, I think it's that unthinking following herd mentality that just makes me roll my eyes a bit.
Yeah. Because you just think that that's the sort of professional business-like thing to do and it's not the most practical.
I think it could show ambition, like, you know, if you've got a young a little business though, and you'll think, but yeah, but this time I've got my business cards printed, but this time next year I could be phoning,
and I'm going to be so successful that A, I'll be international, and B, I'll still have some of these 200 business cards.
That's it.
They go together.
Yeah, so that you can deliver your pizza to Belgium or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. Well, there we go. The results are in for those half a dozen strangely specific points that we just discussed. If you like what you heard, please like and subscribe to the podcast and recommend it to all the designer friends in your life. Tune in next time for part 2 of our special client clanger roundup, when we take another bucket full of frequently heard feedback and slosh it across the parquet floor of reason. This has been Well, You're the Designer, a Solar Press podcast hosted by me, Danny Powell, with designers Richard Kemp.
I am here.
And Matt Brutti.
Hi.
Recorded and produced by Poppy Productions and brought to you by solarpress.com.